Yeah, good afternoon. Welcome back. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. And I'm joined now by John Bolton, former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, author of Surrender is Not an Option, Defending America at the United Nations and Abroad. And in addition to all that, he's a pretty nice guy. Hello, Mr. Ambassador. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Thanks very much for having me.
My pleasure. You wrote a piece in our paper entitled Iran's Relentless Nuclear Quest, Nothing Has Slowed Regime's Pace to Build the Bomb. Is there any doubt in your mind that Iran would use it?
No, I think this is a regime that has for years stated its intentions. It's said that it wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. It's held conferences with titles like The World Without the United States and Israel. And it has aspirations for hegemony in the region within the larger struggle within Islam and really to be a global power. So I think the risk is very high. But even if they acquired a nuclear weapon and didn't use it physically, the fact of having it would change the balance of power in the Middle East irrevocably and would cause other states to get nuclear weapons, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, so that in a very short period of time, as these things go, you could have half a dozen nuclear weapon states in the Middle East.
I want to ask you a question about Americans. Why aren't we more concerned about this?
Well, you know, I think one reason is that the president hardly ever talks about it. I think one of the most important functions of the president, certainly in the national security field, is to inform the country about the threats that we face internationally, our interests, our friends, our allies, and explain what we need to do to protect ourselves and justify the budget requests he makes, and most important of all, the sacrifice that our young servicemen and women may be called upon to make. Our president hardly talks about foreign policy. It's not his priority. It makes him different from every Republican or Democratic president since Franklin Roosevelt. And I think one of the reasons that the voters are not as aware as they should be is that we don't have leadership in the White House.
Many thought sanctions would work, but they haven't worked. Why? 2 weeks?
Well, sanctions, I think, can work if they are massively applied, comprehensive, uniformly agreed to, and enforced usually by military means. Nothing that we have put in place in the last 10 years even comes close to that definition. And, you know, about 3 weeks ago now, the Obama administration's own director of national intelligence testified to the Senate that none of the sanctions that have been placed so far have had any effect at all on Iran's behavior or policies in the nuclear field. So although you hear a lot of spin and hype these days about new sanctions that are coming on stream, we're in a race. The race is, does Iran get to the nuclear weapons finish line before sanctions or something else stops them? And the answer is they are already very close to the finish line.
Yeah. In your writing, you take us through the stages of production, an indication that this has been going on. This has been meticulously planned, and it's been going on for a long time, right? And that would tell me that it, not only this administration, but perhaps others, have been asleep at the wheel.
Look, I think the last three administrations, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, have all been asleep at the wheel. I think they've been lulled by the Europeans into thinking we could negotiate with Iran. We've made a lot of mistakes, and that's why we're down to two very unattractive options. One, the use of preemptive military force, or the other, much worse in my view, Iran gets nuclear weapons. One of the points I was trying to make in this article was how broad and deep the Iranian program is. This is not simply a sprint to get one nuclear weapon. I think what they're showing is they're in this for the long haul, and they're determined to have complete domestic mastery over what they call the nuclear fuel cycle, which means everything from uranium in the ground all the way up to nuclear weapons. That means they're not dependent on importing the technology or the materials. They can do it all in their own backyard, and that's even more troubling.
Yeah. Israel, getting itchy, and rightly so. How long before they make a move?
Well, I think they've got to make a decision very soon. I think, actually, they may have waited too long. I worry. I would have done this years ago because the political impact of the military strike, I think, is almost as important as the destruction of the facilities, and they've waited so long. I think they're risking the Iranians having concealed something that we don't know about. My guess is that you know, Defense Secretary Panetta said the Iranians could have a bomb within a year. I think that's right. It's probably less than that.
Wow.
Defense Secretary Panetta also said he thought the Israeli attack would come in the April, May, or June time frame. Now, apart from betraying important tactics by one of our best allies against one of our adversaries, which was pretty extraordinary, I'm not sure Secretary Panetta is far off in terms of his timing. I don't honestly know what the Israelis are going to do, whether they're going to use military force or not. They've certainly not hesitated to attack other countries' nuclear weapons programs in the past. But if they're going to do it, they need to do it soon, is my view.
All right, and how do we line up behind them or beside them?
Look, I think we should support them in a lot of ways. The Iranian nuclear weapons program is not just an Israeli problem. It's not even just an American problem. It's a global problem. I am very much worried, though, that the Obama administration has spent 3 years putting enormous pressure on Israel in private not to use force. I think these comments by Panetta and others show that the Obama team realizes their private pressure isn't working, and now they're resorting to public pressure. So I would support Israel. I'd resupply them. I'd give them more resources now. I'd give them additional air refueling tankers and F-16s right now.
All right. Just about out of time. I wanted to ask you a couple last-minute questions. When we last spoke, you were about to decide on a presidential run. You sorry you didn't do it now?
No, I mean, I looked at this very carefully. It's extraordinarily hard for somebody who's not run for public office before to get into the game at the very top level. I looked around at the field. I support Governor Romney now. I think he's clearly the best choice. We need somebody who knows how to be president, not just give good speeches or debates, but who says, I want to go from A to B, and then can figure out how to get from A to B. And I think Romney's the one who can do that.
Yeah, and one more thing. Your name constantly is bandied about as a future Secretary of State. Would you consider that position?
Look, it's a great honor. There's no doubt about it. But I think as former Secretary of State Jim Baker always used to remind me, keep your eyes on the prize. And the prize is defeating Obama. We'll worry about the rest of it once that gets taken care of.
You know, you're sounding more and more like a politician. Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That is former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., John Bolton. Always good to talk with him.